I'm so glad to be here with you all today. As you continue this ongoing conversation of Genesis 1 and of creation, and as I am a bit of a storyteller, as you heard from my intro, I love art in every single form. I think of nature as art, but I love storytelling as well. And so I wanted to start with just a quick short story from my childhood, as well as a question. Have you ever seen the stars? And no, I mean like really seen the stars. Once when I was very young, during a field trip, we went out on a night hike for one of my summer camps in the countryside. And we were guided down this long, dark path. And at first, it felt so scary and creepy. And I could hear like strange noises coming from everywhere. And I had no idea what was happening. But as our guide told us stories about all of the wonderful things that were out in nature, I began to hear things that were familiar to me. I heard the call of owls swooping in the air. I heard the cicadas in the trees and the trickle of gentle stream water. And I became not afraid. And so I let this guide me down this path. And though I was afraid at first, I was no longer. And as we got to the end, we discovered that there was a clearing, I'm sure as they had planned, but it was a surprise to me. And as we had walked through this path, my eyes had actually adjusted to how dark it was really in the countryside. And I looked up at this clearing and I saw the heavenly bodies above and I cried. It was so beautiful, this world that the Lord creates and makes. And so may we recall, as the sixth day slowly ebbed into the night and the Lord saw all that he made, he said that it was very good. The world that had been only filled with darkness before was now teeming with life. Creatures of the sky, the land, and the sea were living together in perfect harmony. Even in the present day, though our world may feel like it is filled with so much darkness, chaos, and the unknown, with the Lord as our guide, we need not be afraid. And as the heavens shine bright, let there be light inside your heart, knowing that the wonderful Lord the world created and makes, we merely have to open up our hearts and be intentional enough in our thoughts to witness what is the world that is around us. And as we reflect on the text of Genesis 1, let us open our hearts and minds, as I had said, to understanding the origins of our earth in relation to God's intentions. May we hear with all of our hearts his divine message calling us to honor and protect the vast tapestry that is life in the world that we live in. In the beginning, God embarked on a journey shaping the heavens and the earth and bringing forth life in its astonishing diversity. Let there be light, he spoke. And from the divine command emerged a world teeming with life, with every piece having its own unique purpose and place in the chorus of creation. From the gentle rivers to the breathtaking mountains, the forests where the cicadas live, the oceans, etc. Every corner of nature has its own part to play. All of these things come together to create the beautiful symphony that is our home. And in the beginning, the earth was formless and empty. But we see the first thing that God created from imbuing the world with light was the concept of night and day. And it's interesting that the Bible brings attention to and methodically mentions time and time again the passage of time thereafter. And we can see through this that God is intentional in his creation and that time does have an important role to play. Now, as creating light, land, and every living thing, after creating light, land, and every living thing, each time God said it was good. And he blessed all of the creatures of the sea, the sky, those of earth. And most important of all, though, after everything was made, after the whole picture had come together in this beautiful tapestry that he weaved, that is when God said, and only then, that it was very good. This alone speaks volumes, as it shows our relationship with God cannot be contained on one-on-one, but truly brings us to think and reflect upon why we need community and the world around us. Through this, we may interpret that God's command to humanity to fill the earth and subdue it should not be interpreted as permission to destroy and control and exploit and dominate over the land, right? Instead, it's calling us to honor and to love the Lord and his creation, all of it in unity and harmony together, because without one thing, it can't be very good. It can't. We need everything. And so, unfortunately, we are losing pieces of what makes the earth so special every month, every year, and every decade. And just as time is important in the story of our creation, time plays an integral role in our current lives. We must act urgently, for, as you may have heard, we're running out of time. Humanity is destroying the very thing that we were tasked with creating. And every day we reach towards further a cliff in which we won't be able to turn back. And so the symphony that God creates is crying out, and humanity is not being intentional enough to see or hear its cries. If we were to listen carefully, we would see that this can be heard through the earth as it ebbs and it flows, through the seas and the trees. The earth actually breathes. The mycelium networks that connect us to the mushrooms connect our forests to one another. They provide for each other. Like the cells in our veins, they carry nutrients and warnings of the pain we have afflicted upon our common home. We are not only hurting a single tree or bird, we are destroying a network of love, the screams left unheard. Let our faith guide us towards a new path, lest we face climate devastation and Earth's wrath. Where we care for creation, we care for ourselves. And if our body is our temple, the earth is our village, our protective shell from the ocean of the unknown. This is where we were raised and where we were born and grown up for generations. All of our nations started around a river, an ocean, a lake, a fertile crescent of hope where we could eat, rest, and wake. That is what we have to lose and what is at stake. This beautiful world the Lord created and makes. And as God entrusts us with the stewardship over the earth, we must bear a sacred duty to care for creation and ensure that it thrives for generations to come. Today, our world faces grave challenges stemming from the neglect and abuse of environment, pollution, deforestation, climate change, loss of biodiversity, and the ongoing front of threats that those who are most marginalized in our communities are facing the brunt of this damage. However, in the face of these challenges, let us remember that Genesis 1 also holds a message of hope and restoration. And as people of faith, we are called to actively engage in healing our planet and our communities. God, just as God separated the light from the dark, we must confront the darkness of ecological degradation with the light of our conviction for change. And let us rise up, bring hope and faith to the world to know that nature cannot be ignored, that the people cannot be ignored, that the people who are most impacted by climate deserve to live, and not only to live, but to thrive. And Genesis teaches us that in creation, that all of creation is a gift from God. Our response to this gift should be one of deepest respect and gratitude. Let us cultivate a profound appreciation for the wonders of nature, acknowledging that every tree, every creature, every ecosystem carries God's divine blessing. And with this reverence, we should naturally be inclined to protect and preserve the earth for future generations. But what's more, we must stand in solidarity with marginalized communities who are currently disproportionately impacted by the climate crisis. And as we started with a story, may we start to close with a poem and prayer. Dear Lord, I understand now we cannot care for creation without action. Without knowing, acknowledging, and feeling compassion for the history that we share, some of us have had our past, present, and futures irreparably broken. But there are still things that we can do to try and repair our relationship with one another, to love thy sister, sibling, and brother. Lord, give us the strength to carry on, the wisdom to hear the earth's quiet songs, the power to confront and right so many wrongs, and the compassion to be there for those whose homes, friends, and families are gone. Oh Lord, may you provide living waters in a world where rivers and lakes are drying out, as oceans rise, where island nations are being wiped out by rising tides. At the end of the day, after you have thought and after you pray, remember there are still actions and words left to say. And the last thing that I wanted to leave you with is that despite the heaviness of the burden we may bear, there is still hope. Just as every star in the dark makes up the vast expanse of our night sky, we too must find that we are surrounded by others that shine bright with the knowledge, courage, and conviction to help us and to guide us through this long, dark path that we must follow. We are not alone. Even in our darkest days, we will always have the Lord to guide us. As we stand together, intentionally seek out community and act with agency, we can hope to create a kingdom of love and abundance on earth as it is on heaven. And that is where I was going to end this talk originally, but over and over again, I was writing this and I was thinking and I was practicing this. And this morning it came to me and I thought of a song that it was first a poem, and it was created into a song by James Weldon Johnson, leader of the NAACP. It's called Lift Every Voice and Sing. And I thought about this at the beginning when I was writing it, and I was like, no, maybe not. And then in the middle, I was like, okay, I wonder if I could fit this in, but I don't want to inorganically fit it in. But at the end of the day, I thought to myself, no, this is something that is inside of my heart. I feel as though I'm being guided by the Holy Spirit to share this with you all today. And so I wanted to share, at the very least, just the first verse. And I actually learned, as I said that I was going to do this, that it's on page 611 of your book. So if you want, you can turn to that. But this wasn't really planned. This was something I thought of this morning. And I wanted to sing it with you all, if you'd like. I don't know if it's exactly to the tune, but this is how I sing it. Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the darkness has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. And so I leave you with this. Think of the interconnections between caring for creation and caring for us. Think about the intersectionality of our work, and think about how it is now that we must act in this beautiful, beautiful world that the Lord created and makes. We must make sure that we do our part For in creation, the story of creation, we came last, right? But the world will be here after us and after all of us pass. And so it's up to us to make sure that future generations, that those that are here now, who are suffering now, can truly, truly enjoy the world for all that it is. For all of the world is blessed, and so are you. Thank you.